Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Wednesday. Can't believe how many good topics today. Live in Los Angeles, this is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening or watching, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. Nick Wright, this hour, it is a pleasure to have you in. A lot of political things going on last night. The country is changing and moving, and Joy Taylor is joining us, and we're not moving. We're just sitting here today where we always are. It is my birthday, and Joy got me cookies.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
You talked a lot about oatmeal raisin cookies during the holidays.
And you're a good listener.
I'm very good with gifts like that.
You're very good.
Pay attention.
I learn things about you every day.
I'm a complicated person. Very complex.
Yes. So something happened yesterday to Baker Mayfield, and I will say it's not ideal. I mean, let's be honest. It's not ideal. Kevin Stefanski won't be on the sidelines, his head coach, play caller, and they'll be missing a really, really good guard and a backup receiver. It's not ideal. But let's not make any excuses. Baker gets rolled this weekend. He is officially a game manager, not a franchise quarterback. You know the difference, right? Game manager is everything's perfect for you, and you can win games. Case Keenum. Let's start with he's missing Kevin Stefanski. Sean Payton, maybe the best play caller in the NFL. It's funny, they didn't work as well with Taysom Hill as they did with Drew Brees. Kyle Shanahan's probably the second best play caller in the NFL. He is 7-27 in the NFL when Jimmy Garoppolo's not playing. Josh McDaniels, that guy can call plays. It's funny, they didn't work well this year without Brady. The quarterback drives the bus on that, not the play caller. Bill Walsh's plays, the great Bill Walsh's plays, were never quite as crisp outside of Joe Montana. Well, he's missing a top guard. Aaron Rodgers this year didn't have David Bakhtiari, the best pass-blocking left tackle, for several games, 4 or 5. He threw for 15 touchdowns and no picks. This past weekend, they didn't have David Bakhtiari against the Bears' pass rush and defense. He had 4 touchdowns, no picks, 79% completion percentage, 148 passer rating. Patrick Mahomes has not had Mitchell Schwartz, a Pro Bowl offensive lineman, since week 6. He's not lost a game. Think Josh Allen would unravel because he's missing a wide receiver who's a backup and a guard? By the way, Lamar Jackson's missing the best pure left tackle in football, Ronnie Stanley. He's actually gotten better without him. That's because Aaron Rodgers and Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, they're franchise quarterbacks. They're not game managers. See, because the world's not ideal. This is the way it works in the NFL. You play in crappy weather. Oh, Baker did a couple of times in Cleveland. They couldn't score. You're missing a left tackle, Ronnie Stanley, David Bakhtiari. You're missing a star receiver. Sometimes with COVID, you miss a coach. Baker, no excuses. You get rolled, you're a game manager. I don't want to hear about a backup wide receiver and a guard. The other advantage Cleveland has here is Stefanski. They got 5 days prep for this. So the quarterback coach, who's been around, really good quarterback coach, been around the NFL for over a decade, is going to call plays. The first 12 to 15 will be scripted. Those are the play calls. That's what the late Bill Walsh did. He scripted the first 12 to 15 plays, so the Niners played with a lead. Games are different when you play with a lead. Ask Lamar Jackson, great player, better with a lead than trailing. All quarterbacks, we've looked it up, done this topic, are better with a lead than trailing. And the first 12 to 15, Stefanski, Van Pelt, they'll be scripted. And then play calling is completely, utterly overrated. The other break the Browns get, They're playing the Steelers. There's no tricks here. Play calling's not winning the game. Players are winning the game. That's why the Steelers gave Big Ben and TJ Watt the day off. They're best players. They probably will run 75% of the same plays they ran last week, and so will the Browns. The Vegas line moved a point for missing Kevin Stefanski, the best guard Cleveland has, and a backup wide receiver. I don't want to hear about the excuses. I'm seeing all these built-in excuses. Josh Allen would not completely unravel if Sean McDermott wasn't on the sidelines. He was missing a guard and a backup wide receiver. He would still be 6'6", move elegantly, with a shotgun arm, and an unbelievable amount of quarterback confidence. Maybe a play or two that wasn't as keen, wasn't as perfectly timed. But if Baker gets rolled, everybody in this league, Case Keenum, when everything's perfect, when everything's ideal, can win games and playoff games. Let's see you go do it. Go be a leader. So Trevor Lawrence, Clemson quarterback, has officially declared for the draft. That's not a big shocker. Fans often push back on the media. And I know I've heard it before. You guys are just hype masters. It's just about hype. You guys are hype, hype, hype. That's all you guys do is a hype, hype, hype. And I'm not listening. Over the course of doing 3 hours, 250 times a day, sometimes, you know, I fall into a theatrical phase or a goofy phase, and I'm a little over the top on games I pick or blah, blah, blah. But we're not wrong on this. And here's where the media is not wrong. When we guarantee you that this blank athlete is an all-timer, I don't think we've ever been wrong. There have been 8 athletes in my life where not only did you talk about them when they declared for a draft, you talked about them for years at the college level or amateur level. And the 8 are John Elway and Peyton Manning and Sidney Crosby and Shaq and LeBron and Tiger Woods and Bryce Harper and Andrew Luck. I don't want to hear about Bryce Harper underachieving. He's a 6-time All-Star. He was the youngest unanimous MVP ever, Rookie of the Year, and hits the ball further than anybody in baseball has in a long time. He's great. And by the way, Andrew Luck won 11 games, 11 games, 11 games with the worst offensive line and worst roster in the game, a terrible GM and a bad head coach. Tom Brady's great. He could not win 11 games with that unit. He couldn't. There's no way. Magic Johnson. What about Magic Johnson? He had a lot of critics. I'm old enough to remember when he came out of college. The knock was he can't shoot and he won't defend. He still never defended well. He got better at shooting. Kobe Bryant was picked 13th. Michael Jordan. Actually, Akeem was considered the lock. He went number one. Zion. Zion wasn't the number one recruit on Duke. It was R.J. Barrett. When we go out and say, no, that is all time. That's what we did with Sidney Crosby. 3 years before he came out, there were Sidney Crosby articles. Bryce Harper, cover of Sports Illustrated in high school. LeBron James, the chosen one. I remember Tiger Woods had an agent at 11. I lived in Portland, Oregon. He won a junior tournament in like Beaverton, Oregon. He goes, Pumpkin Ridge was the name of the golf course, if I recall right. Beautiful course. Played golf poorly there many times. And I remember people saying, well, that's the greatest golfer of all time. I mean, he was like 16. And my friends who were like, you know, really good golfers, they were like, oh, no, that's not what you look like at 16. That like he could be on the tour now at 16 years old. He could be on the tour. He's a year away from winning on the tour. And we all know he won a lot. So the media can sell hype. I'm not saying that we don't have problems and flaws and we don't have, you know, there's biases and political and sports and, you know, all that. We always take care of our sources more than we take care of the people we don't like. But this kid is he's the 9th in my life. He's the 9th. That I mean, literally, we've been talking about him for 3 years. We talked about Shaq. I can remember having a beer with the late Jerry Tarkanian. I remember this. At Sharky's. That's the name of the club. He got a percentage of it for putting his name on it. And he said, there's a kid named Shaquille O'Neal at LSU. He said, he will fundamentally change the league. Shaq was like a freshman at LSU. He's like, he's going to literally change the sport. You'll not be able to guard him. He goes, he goes, wait till he gets strong in a weight program. So Trevor Lawrence is going to be really good. With the right coach and GM, he's going to win Super Bowls. If they just screw up and get him average people, he's going to be a Pro Bowler. I said this last week. I said it was Zion, and Zion is not this good. I said Zion would be a top 25 player at some point in his first year, and he was. He'll be the 12th best quarterback in the league, 10th, 12th, 13th, 14th, if he just gets a competent coach. A little protection and a competent coach right out of the chute.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So Jerry Jones, owner of the Dallas Cowboys, talking about Dak Prescott's contract. First, he announced his love, devotion, and frankly, concern that he doesn't have a lot of leverage with Dak in negotiations.
I don't know how you could have any more leverage. His evolving into an NFL quarterback has been nothing short of a perfect pitcher. And he has great ability in my mind to win games. He's talented. You wouldn't be offering Dak what's been offered him in the past had you not thought he was very special.
All right, they're going to pay him. And then Jerry followed with this.
We've got to fit potential defense in here. We've got to pay additional defense this year. And any dollar that goes there doesn't go toward another player.
You're not going to pay him. So here's the thing, is sometimes you get caught off guard. We all do in life, in business, in sports. Something happens that's never happened. Remember, if you go to YouTube and look up the play, Stanford, Cal, the band's on the field. I got to be honest with you. If you didn't prepare for that as a special teams coach, I'm going to give you a pass on that. But if it happened like every couple years where the band was on the field, you'd be like, yeah, it's weird. Every time we play Cal, there's a band on the field. Precedent matters. History matters. So we looked this morning. Name the last NFL quarterback that won a Super Bowl with a top three salary in the NFL. We looked. We gave up after a couple of decades. Eli Manning once had like the fourth or fifth highest. Dak now wants over $40 million. Folks, we all have budgets. We all know the truth on this. If you look at my top five teams in the herd hierarchy after this season, and I think most of you would agree, if not with the order, with these five teams right now, here's their quarterback cap hit. Josh Allen, Buffalo, is 30th. Aaron Rodgers, 10th. Drew Brees, 8th. Mahomes, 32nd currently. Lamar Jackson, 39th. You cannot win Super Bowls. Brady took pay cuts last three contracts. You just can't do it. I mean, you find me a top three quarterback. I've said this about Mahomes. Brett Veach is a really good GM. Once you pay Mahomes $40 million, you're going to lose one of your best offensive linemen, one of your best corners, and you can't have two great pass rushers. The games get tougher. And then there's going to be some young quarterback like a Josh Allen you don't have to pay for two more years, and they're going to take your best corner, and they're going to take your best pass rusher, and you're going to wake up and go, they got better players than us, and they've got a good quarterback. So, I mean, we all have salary caps in our life. You spend too much for the kitchen rebuild, you don't get a second vacation. You want a really nice car to lease, maybe you don't get a vacation. We got a precedent. I'll say, Joy and I talked about this yesterday. I'm not here to tell athletes to take less. I'm not. But boy, $32 million in Dallas, Texas, that's a lot of home. 4 or 5 year deal, spread it out. You're going to get a lot of commercials you wouldn't get. Tony Romo, undrafted, number one broadcaster for CBS. He's not getting that if he's a quarterback of the Jags, I can assure you right now.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So Mike Lombardi used to work at this network. He's a former GM, Belichick guy. I think he works at The Ringer now and writes books and stuff, and he's got podcasts and stuff. And it's interesting. He's always been a big culture guy. Culture over strategy. Culture, 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 culture. And he was ranking the six job openings, and he had the Jags 1, the Texans 2, and like the Jets 4, and they're all awful cultures. And he said, hey, Jags is one because they got Trevor Lawrence. So I think culture is really important too. But those are bad cultures. So what does it mean? The most important thing to do with the Jets and the Jags and the Texans is not a play caller. It's a culture changer. Urban Meyer is easily the most qualified culture changer. Now, I know there's Urban Meyer skeptics. Peter King on my show yesterday.
I would love to interview Urban Meyer for an NFL head coaching vacancy. You know, how are you going to like losing in Jacksonville? And I'm not saying you can't win in Jacksonville. You can. But you will undergo significant days and weeks and maybe months of losing.
Brian Daboll and Eric Bieniemy are great potential play callers and hard workers with experience. They've never changed a culture. What, Colin? Sean McVay did not get his job because of his playbook. He walked into the office, and if you've ever met Sean, he just pops. He's so dynamic. Stan Kroenke's like, we're not letting him out of the office. What about Matt Rhule? To my point, he's a culture changer. He went to Temple and Baylor, bad football programs. You didn't give Matt Rhule the job in Carolina, and I thought he had a very good year despite not winning much. He changes cultures. Because I agree with Mike Lombardi. I think culture over strategy, over play calling. You got to change the culture. The greatest culture changer in the history of college football was Barry Alvarez at Wisconsin. They were a terrible program. They were the pits. Like cold weather, no players. They have been for the last 25 years since he coached and was the athletic director, a top 10 football program. The state still has no high school football stars. Like that's changing the way people view themselves. So Urban Meyer four times has not only changed the culture, he's done it overnight. Bowling Green was awful, 2-9, next year 8-3. Utah, I was there, was a mess, 5-6, next year 10-2. Florida was talented, 7-5 to 9-3. The next year they won a national title. Ohio State 6-7 to 12-0. That's just not changing a playbook. That is changing the way young people view themselves, how the program sees itself. You got to have confidence. That's what Urban does. He is a culture changer. Now, by the way, not every coach needs to be a culture changer. Let me give you an example. When Matt LaFleur got the Packers job, you didn't need a culture changer. Packers culture's fine. Packers win all the time. Get Aaron Rodgers. You didn't need to change the Packers culture. What you needed to do, you needed a tweaker. You needed somebody that could get in there, Matt LaFleur, and kind of connect progressively, young, good-looking, smart guy with a young, good-looking, smart quarterback. Just kind of tweak it. Just kind of tweak it a little bit. Kind of refine it. Push Aaron a little bit. Make Aaron just a little bit uncomfortable. You didn't need an overhaul. Green Bay didn't need a culture changer. By the way, I don't think the Chargers need necessarily a culture changer. They may just need a play caller. They led in most of their games this year. Competing and leading was never a problem. Holding the lead was. They may just need just a play caller. Get leads, figure out how to get first downs. That was their issue late. So I get, and Urban's not a fit for everybody. He would be, I'll give you an example. I don't think Urban Meyer would be a great fit with Aaron Rodgers if he wouldn't have gone to Green Bay. He's too big. He's too powerful. I mean, he comes in there and just blows through the door. He may have been too much. I'd say the same for Sean McVay. Sean McVay's system and style, Aaron would have been, whoa. I'm good here. I got Super Bowls. There are, you know, the Rams post Jeff Fisher needed somebody to blow through the doors, change the playbook, change the practice schedule, change the way they viewed themselves. So I'm not saying Urban's perfect for everybody. Jets, Texans, Jags, yeah. You need to blow through the doors, change the way everybody in the room views themselves. So I was thinking about this morning. There's a story out that the Miami Dolphins, they're good with Tua. Listen, it's early. Let's not go crazy town. He won some games, had some nice plays. But this morning I looked at the 14 teams in the playoffs. And the 9 teams who you'd you kind of think should be favored to win games this weekend. The Chiefs, the Bills, the Steelers, the Titans, the Ravens, the Packers, the Saints, the Seahawks, Buccaneers. What do they have in common? 9 of the 14 teams. Those are all A's. Bruce Arians may be an A- to a B+. McDermott, Tomlin, Harbaugh, Vrabel, Reed, Matt LaFleur, Sean Payton, Bruce Arians, Pete Carroll. Those are A coaches. Arians may be A-, little risk-it biscuit thing. And the quarterbacks, don't you dare scoff at Ryan Tannehill. Since he started last year, week 7, he's a Pro Bowler. He's an A quarterback. Josh Allen, Ben Lamar, Ryan, Patrick, Rodgers, Breeze, Brady, Wilson. Those are A quarterbacks. Now, you can argue some of those quarterbacks, like Big Ben, it looked like a B+, a B for some of the year. But if you combine the coach and quarterback, your average is at lowest, because Brady had an A+ year. A to an A+ year. Arians maybe had a B+ year. They all average A-. They're all teams we think could win in the playoffs. Then there's the Browns, Colts, Washington football team, Rams, backup quarterback, Bears. We don't feel that way. So here's my issue. Brian Flores appears to be an A. It's early, but I'll give him that. Tua right now looks C-. The problem is his ceiling looks like C+. He's small. He is not hyper-athletic. His arm strength is okay. Now, I'll give you an example. It's not about winning games. When Josh Allen from Wyoming came to the NFL first year, he really struggled. It was some ugliness. But we went this morning and found his 13-minute highlight film of his rookie year. It is a bunch of whoa, followed by a bunch of wow. Out at 6'6", out running people to the end zone, running over people, jumping over people, 65-yard post routes on a dime. His ceiling, you couldn't see it. The house had no roof. He looked insane. He was just inconsistent. But you could see the A. He just had a lot of D. So the average was about C-. If you went and found Tua's 13-minute highlight film as a rookie, there'd be about 4 minutes of it. And then at the four-minute mark, Ryan Fitzpatrick would come in on that tape and finish it out. That's the problem. Is that if Flores is an A, Tua could be a B+, A- and get you into that A-, needed average coach quarterback that we see as a Super Bowl team. But if your ceiling looks like a C+, even if Flores is an A+, I'm not saying you can't win games. I'm not saying you can't occasionally win a division. But if you're in a division with Josh Allen, that's my issue. Now, we went and looked at the last 17 Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. 15 will get into the Hall of Fame. There are two exceptions. In the last 17 years, Joe Flacco had the greatest four-game stretch, not only of his career, it was one of the greatest four-game stretches of a quarterback's career. And then Nick Foles had his best game as a pro, and since then it's been nonsense. The other 15, going to get into the Hall of Fame. And when you start watching, I go back to the whoa or wow is what I need to see early. I saw it with Burrow. I saw it with Herbert. I saw it Josh Allen. I saw it Lamar Jackson. I saw it Patrick Mahomes. I saw it with Aaron Rodgers. Whoa or wow. You got to give me a little bit of that. You watch Justin Fields from Ohio State, Trey Lance from North Dakota State. You watch Zach Wilson, BYU. What you see on YouTube, and you saw it with Justin Fields last week, you see some whoa and wow. You see inconsistencies. You see they got a lot of room to grow. But you got to give me one of those words, hopefully both, a bunch of times. Whoa, wow, oh. I just don't see it. I see B-C+. Size, arm, escapability. Maybe I'm wrong. It won't be the first time. It doesn't happen. It's infrequent. But I don't know. Stuff I worry about. 9 of the 14 teams that you think have a chance to win a playoff game, the head coach and the quarterback combo is in that A-. Andy Reid and Mahomes, A+. McDermott, Josh Allen, A. You know, Brady Arians, A-minus, that's kind of where you got to be.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Eric Wood was played for a decade in the NFL. He was a Pro Bowler. First-round pick, by the way, on the offensive line. Now doing some broadcasting. The former Bill Pro Bowl center is joining us live. So, you know, Buffalo is a unique place. Yesterday I had Josh Norman on, and he's like, Buffalo was the last place I ever wanted to play. And he's like, I'm having the time of my life. Eric, explain to people, and I've never been to Buffalo, but explain to people what it's like to be a member of the Bills.
It's pretty special, and you just hit the nail on the head when you said places like Green Bay and Buffalo are different because it is a smaller town. There's not as much to do. When we leave the stadium at night, there's more people getting together. It's that more family atmosphere. You've heard Sean McDermott talk about it as a lot. But when the free agents come into Buffalo, they're always amazed by what the family culture is in Buffalo, and some of that just comes from having a small town. But Bills Mafia has gotten a lot of notoriety lately, and it's a passionate fan base. You compared it to SEC football, and I would compare it to a college crowd at times, the way they live and die with everything that the Buffalo Bills do.
What concerns you about the Bills? We know McDermott's excellent. Josh Allen is special. Stephon Diggs is unguardable. Is there something you could see in the first quarter against the Colts? And it does, you may not want to talk about it because you love your Bills, but it does, you could see something this weekend and it worries you about this favorite in round one.
Yeah, they've just played so loose and so good these last 6 weeks that any adversity early on could maybe remind them back to that 16-0 playoff game last year when they had the lead on Houston, yeah, and they ended up not being able to complete it. So just something getting them tight, because right now they have it absolutely rolling on both sides of the ball. So could Indianapolis come out and Frank Reich, the former Buffalo quarterback, could he go up there with his team that rushes the football well, suck the life out of the ball a little bit? They're number two in the NFL, the Colts are, in turnover differential. Maybe they get a turnover early. That kind of stuff would scare me, but this team in Buffalo is so good that their confidence shouldn't be shook by one or two bad plays early.
So you retired. You would have played and been a Pro Bowler for multiple years. You had a neck injury, a little like Chris Spielman. You're like, I'm going to hang it up, be safe, be with my family. You did that. You were both great players. But some guys, you know, I watched the special on Tony Baselli last night. He played 7 years. For seven of them, he was the best left tackle in football. That's right. The sport. But you know Sean McDermott, and you know Anthony Lynn, by the way, too. But when it comes to Sean McDermott, when did you kind of know? You know, you still have a lot of connections there. What's his secret sauce? Every coach has a thing. McVay's dynamic. Belichick's intellect. What's McDermott's secret sauce?
It's likely culture. He started it with talking about the process. And the process started in training camp. My last year in the NFL, his first as a head coach, when we got rid of Ronald Darby and we traded away Sammy Watkins, and we would not long after get rid of our previous highest pick, and that was Marcell Dareus. But what Sean McDermott wanted to do was get guys that fit his certain DNA, and those are all really good players, superstars in the league in some sense. But when you looked at how Sean McDermott wanted to build the team, it was a little bit different. And I'll never forget sitting in a meeting before the season. We still had a lot of talent on that team. LeSean McCoy, Kyle Williams, a number of Pro Bowlers from that season, Richie Incognito, Tyrod Taylor. And we're looking at Sean and saying, hey, if you want a tank, you're going to have to get rid of a lot more of us. He said, no. He said, no. This is a part of the process. And people in Buffalo, I mean, there's shirts about it. There's Joel Embiid references to it. But it truly has been about the process there. And that is setting up a culture built on trust. He's very good at communicating with the guys. He walks the walk. He's extremely organized. He works out himself. Everything he does is consistent. And the consistency he brings on a day-to-day basis is what makes him special.
Now, you know, Eric, there is a big difference between a regular season game and a playoff game. And the Bills, I still tend to think of the Bills as mostly a youthful team. They feel youthful, and you know, some of that is just frankly Josh Allen,
right?
But the difference when you've talked to pros or you've experienced from regular season intensity to playoff intensity.
Yeah, so I only got one experience at a playoff game myself in 9 years, but we did break the 17-year playoff drought in my final year, which was pretty special. But it does go up a notch. It feels like a primetime football game where the defensive line all tries a little bit harder. It feels like that, but it's everybody on the team. And when it's go home, win or go home, there's just so much on the line. Luckily for these guys either experienced the game in early 2018 that I was a part of, the playoff game, or last year, most of the team played in that game against Houston last year or came in through free agency with playoff experience. I'm glad that this is no longer Josh Allen's first time in a playoff atmosphere.
Eric Wood joining us, Pro Bowl offensive lineman, formerly of the Bills. Not that I didn't think Stephon Diggs was great, but Josh Allen was young. Stephon Diggs is a star. And there was part of me thinking, okay, here comes Stephon, like OBJ to Cleveland. I'm like, I'm not sure if this fits. Josh Allen's a kid. It's Buffalo. Stephon Diggs feels like New York City feels. And there was a little bit of me that thought, I got to keep my eye. It's been great. Are you surprised a little that it's not only fit, it's the best combo right now in the league?
Yeah, I'm honestly surprised. I'm not surprised if you said make a take maybe week four or five of the season on, but if you would ask me preseason, I could never have foreseen this. I would have never foreseen that Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator, would open up the playbook to even give him the amount of opportunities to lead the league in receptions and catches. You combine that with the fact that they had no OTAs. They had no preseason games. So really a lot of their reps with full speed was happening in games. And we got to see them grow throughout the season to where this last month of the season, Stephon Diggs is virtually unstoppable.
Yeah. So Pro Football Focus put Josh Allen number five. When you, so you didn't get, you were 217. When did you first hear, when you're retired and you still got all your buddies in the locker room and Josh Allen gets drafted, when was the first text or call you got from a former teammate that said, dude, this guy, holy crap, oh brother. Like, do you remember the first impressions by your former teammates?
Let me start off with this. My first interaction with Josh Allen was I was with Ryan Fitzpatrick down at the Masters in early 2018 prior to Josh getting drafted. They have the same agent. We connected down there, and my career had just ended from the neck injury, which came out of nowhere. So for me, I was thinking, hey, I just signed a contract extension with the Bills. Maybe I get a young guy to pour into, especially at the quarterback position, to where one day my kids go back up to Buffalo like, hey, that's daddy's buddy, whatever it may be. I meet Josh Allen and I thought, you know, I'm not really going to be bitter about this season at all unless they take Josh Allen and he's a stud, because this is my type of guy. Just spending the weekend with him. And Colin, I'm sure you've had experiences with him. If you spend any time with Josh Allen, he's one of the most likable people you've ever been around. He's also hyper competitive. He's tough. So that all kind of rang true. So my opinions of him that were formed in a weekend as training camp started and OTAs and everything else that was going, all the guys on the team were like, man, you would love this dude. I'm like, I know. And you know what? Josh has been so gracious to me. I sell my foundation up in Buffalo. He's so generous with his time. He's just a phenomenal dude. He's so easy to root for, though.
Yeah. Well, I know you'll be nervously watching this game because I know how much Buffalo means to you and your charity and your family. And I know you're going to be watching this thing getting anxiety like you're playing in it. I'd love to have you on again, Eric Wood. Doug Gottlieb said, get Eric Wood on the show. We did. You're great. And thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Bills win. Let's do it again next week. And before I go, I just want to say happy birthday, Colin. And I've always been a huge fan of the show, so it was an honor being on for the first time.
Oh, that's nice. Look at that, Joy. Isn't that nice? That was very nice by Eric Wood. It'd be nice if Baker Mayfield came on and wished me a happy birthday, but let's not go crazy here.
He might still tweet you. You still have a day left.
Yeah, that's right.
Baker. Now, that would be good TV. That would be great content.
Yeah, yes, it would. Thanks, buddy. Nice talking to you. Eric Wood. We're going to have him on again. All right. That was fun.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Terry McLaurin has just been great. Third round pick, Ohio State. He has over-delivered. He probably doesn't see it that way, but he's been unbelievable. A second year in the NFL, And he has now led the Washington, almost had 90 catches, 1,200 yards, 134 targets. He is a number one receiver in the NFL, and they got him in the third round. Not supposed to work that way. But he's a Pro Bowl-level guy. Terry McLaurin is now joining us live. He's also an Ohio State Buckeye. So I know he's in a pretty good mood. He's an Ohio State Buckeye. And first of all, you've been great. And not everybody is great. This is a hard league. When did you know, first practice, you got into the NFL and you thought, hey, I'm pretty good. This is going to work out for me. When did you know?
Everything happened so fast once I got here. I was getting first team reps a little bit. I was doing special teams, so my head was kind of spinning. But when I got in, because I didn't play in the preseason. So when we first game was against Philly, at Philly, and my first target, I was like, okay, I could do this. And then I scored that long touchdown from Case Keenum. And,
yep.
And then I was like, I could hang in here. So after that, it was fun, though. So I was fortunate to come into a situation where I could compete for the job early.
Hey, listen, Alex Smith is an amazing story. I know Alex. You're starting to be a star. He's now going to be leaving soon. What do you take from Alex? What does he teach you? What is it like to be around a guy that's had 17 surgeries in 1 year in his leg?
Yeah. The moment's not too big for Alex. His poise, no matter what he's been through, from his 17 surgeries to the ups and downs of the season, to being hurt and having to be called upon to help us get into the playoffs. I mean, no moment is too adverse for him. And, you know, he doesn't make it about him at the end of the day. It's always about the team. It's always about how he can help us, put us in the best situation to be successful. And you always want to go to a battle for a guy like that. I mean, I've had some things that I've been dealing with this year, but seeing all the things that he's been dealing with, it pales in comparison. So I'm glad he's on our team. And, you know, I don't know how much longer he has playing, but the number one thing I've learned from him is you can come overcome any situation as long as you put your mind to it. And the one phrase he says every time we go out to the field is just live. And there was a time where he didn't know if he was going to be able to live or not. So I feel like that fits really, really, really well.
Wow. Ron Rivera is a guy that walks. He's a big dude. He's a former player. He's a man's man. And he walks in and you guys got off to a slow start. New coach, new playbook, new system, 1-5. And all of a sudden it started to click. And talk a little bit about Ron's influence. And when you knew in this season, you're like, okay, now we're all kind of gelling.
Yeah. When we were going through our ups and downs in the season, Coach Rivera, the message stayed the same. And it started with the way we were practicing. We had to bring more intensity to practice. We had to bring more consistency to practice. And we started to see the benefits of that during our games. Playing four-quarter football was one of our Achilles heel. I feel like we would have great first halves and we have tough second halves. We'd have great second halves and have tough first halves. So I feel like, you know, over the course of the season, we've really played more consistently, I feel like. Although, you know, we haven't necessarily played our best ball yet, I feel like we put ourselves in a situation to have a lot of success because we started to play some complimentary football headed by our defense who are having a great year. But we've got a coach like Coach Rivera where you know the standard, you know the expectation of what's expected when you come into the building every day. It gives a sense of clarity throughout this whole building that has been very refreshing for us this year. So to see what he's been going through, and it seems like he hasn't even missed a day, missed a step. The energy that he comes with every day is really cool.
So your Buckeye buddy Chase Young's out there talking some smack, and Brady just probably smirking at all that stuff.
Yeah.
So when Chase said that, did you think, man, shh, just don't say anything. Come on. What did you make of it?
It was funny because we were running off the field at the same time when I heard him say it. So, I mean, at the end of the day, Chase is a grown man, and I say that with a lot of respect because, you know, the way he's came in and helped change our team this year has been nothing short of amazing, the way he comes in every single day. But we're going against one of the best players of all time, not just at his position. And he's been in this scenario more times than we can count. And this is my first playoff game, and this is probably his 40th or something like that. You know what I mean? And you know they're going to be very poised coming in here. You know they're going to be ready. And they got a very great offense and a good defense coming in here. But Tom knows what it's like to be in these situations. And, I feel like Chase is going to come out and try to back up what he said. But I like his confidence, and, we're going to try to support and rally around him and have a good game on Sunday.
By the way, one of eight players with 1,000-plus receiving yards in 15 or fewer games this season, Terry McLaurin, if you're listening on radio, has just been an unbelievable third-round pick. So Ohio State, Alabama, I think it's very competitive. I don't think either defense, yeah. I don't think either defense is going to stop. Going to stop either. Your kind of take on, you probably play with some Alabama guys and they love to talk, blah, blah, blah. And you probably play against some Alabama guys. I actually think Ohio State can win. I'm not sure they will. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts? I mean, I know you still watch Buckeye stuff. Can they compete with Bama? Can they compete with them?
I mean, I think we're built very similarly. The team's very heavy in the trenches, offensively and defensively. I feel like that's where that game's going to be won. We pride ourselves on being tough on the offense and defensive line, and they're going to have to control the line of scrimmage, get some pressure on Mac Jones, and try to limit those big plays from Devontae Smith and a lot of the dynamic players that they have, Najee Harris. But we got dynamic players too. We got Justin Fields. We got Chris Olave. Trey Sermon is playing really great right now, Garrett Wilson. So, I mean, I feel like it's going to be a heavyweight fight, and that's why you come to Ohio State to play in these big games. But I probably have about 8 or 9 Alabama teammates on my team right now, so I'm not gonna make any predictions, but just in case, I got plenty of gear for them if it comes out on the right side.
Well, you're an incredibly easy guy to root for. Terry McLaurin, congratulations. You had, by the way, I'm just looking at your stats here real quick. 7 catches, week 17 win over the Eagles. So you're hot. You're ready to play, dude. You're ready to go. Good luck to you. I'd love to have you on the show again. And what a future you have. You have, man. Appreciate it.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Happy birthday to you, too.
Thank you very much. Look, this guy is,
yes, sir.
This guy, sir, he calls me. I wish my coworkers were as respectful as Terry McLaurin is to me. I'll tell you that. Thanks, buddy.